Welcome everybody. Hope everyone's having a warm winter. This year, today, Zecher Nishmas, my brother-in-law, Rabbi Foldo Marcus, and my father-in-law, Rabbi Yeshua Zeivaitemoff. Rabbi Foldo Marcus was the rabbi of my father-in-law. My father-in-law died in the shul. They were very good friends, and they both held each other in high esteem. So the shir today is dedicated in their memory. I'd like to talk about today the role of Yehudis in the miracle of Hanukkah. Now, you know, we're growing up, and we hear the whole story of Hanukkah. To hear about Matisyo, his five sons, Hanukkah B'Sheva Vaneha, and then, of course, the story of Yehudis, which I will mention. However, you know, and the question is, what else is there to say? So I saw in the Sefer Rebbe Bitter Bin Be'er Chaim, he asked the question that the Gemara Masechta Shabbos and the Chavala starts off with halachas of what candles, what oils and wicks you can use for the Hanukkah menorah. And then it talks about what the mitzvah of the Hanukkah candle is, what you have to do. And then the Gemara says, my Hanukkah, what is Hanukkah? So it's kind of out of place. In other words, the Gemara should have started off and said, my Hanukkah. And then the Gemara should have said, went through all the halachas. Okay? So obviously the reason is because, as the Gemara usually does, it was speaking about wicks and oils for Shabbos. So it's spoken about wicks and oils for Hanukkah also. But still, my Hanukkah, what is Hanukkah, should have been at that point. Why does it come after almost all halachas are discussed? And he says something very cute. He says, because no matter how many years, you can learn all about Hanukkah, and you can keep Hanukkah many years, and you can still ask my Hanukkah, what is Hanukkah? Because there's always something new to learn about Hanukkah. So even though the role of Yehudis in the miracle of Hanukkah is something which, you know, we've all heard about, there's always something to learn about whether really Yehudis really did have a role in the miracle of Hanukkah. So I'd like to begin with the Gemara Masechta Shabbos of Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph. And the Gemara there is discussing who has an obligation to light the Hanukkah menorah, and the Gemara says in Daf Gimel Aleph that Isha Avadeh Madlika, that even though in general a lady is not obligated in mitzvah, commandments that are time oriented, mitzvah seishas man grama, when it comes to mitzvah of Ner Hanukkah, of lighting the Hanukkah menorah, so that, for that, a woman, lady, definitely is obligated in that mitzvah. Because as Rabbi Shua ben Levi says, women are obligated in their Hanukkah, she'af ein hoyu ba'osanes. Because since they were also in some way involved in that miracle, they are also obligated in the mitzvah of their Hanukkah. So all the Rishonim, the commentators ask, how are they involved in the mitzvah, in the miracle of Hanukkah? Because, you know, if you think about the miracle of Hanukkah, so there are two miracles. There was the miracle of fighting the war, and in general we assume that who used to fight, it was really the men. And number two, there was the miracle of the menorah, and the menorah, we know the miracle happened in the temple with Kohanim, male Kohanim. So Rashi says, if you look at Rashi, and very carefully, it's important to see Rashi's words on source number two, and then we'll look at other opinions. Rashi says, Shegazru Yavanim, the Greeks decreed, I'll call the sulos, that all virgins who are getting married for the first time, liboil the top stairs chila. They have to spend the night with a Greek officer first, and that was obviously very traumatic. It was tragic, and as we'll see, it seems a lot of the girls refused to get married, or at least would not reveal they were getting married. The al yedei isha nasanes, and a miracle happened because of a certain woman. So Rashi does not say that a miracle of Hanukkah happened because of a certain woman, as we understand, some understand it as Gemara. Rashi says, in terms of this tragedy, in terms of this challenge, a miracle happened through a lady, and because of that, in order to mark this miracle, women, as an exception to the rule where ladies usually are not obligated in the mitzvah, time-oriented mitzvah, however, this mitzvah, they are obligated to not only remind ourselves of the greater miracle that happened in the big war, but even in this battle, in terms of this decree. That's what Rashi says. So it seems that Rashi is very simple. However, if you look at source number three is a little more complicated. So when it comes to time-oriented mitzvah, then we said that women are usually not obligated in. There are exceptions. And one of those exceptions is the mitzvah of lighting Hanukkah candle, and the two more exceptions. The other exception, this is mentioned in Masechet Shabbat in regard to Hanukkah, it's mentioned in Masechet Megillah in regard to Purim, and it's mentioned in Masechet Pesachim in regard to drinking the four cups of wine on the Seder night. So a ladies are obligated in the mitzvah of hearing the Megillah and all the mitzvahs of Purim, for the same reason, because they were involved in the miracle. And ladies are also obligated in the mitzvah of drinking Arba Kostos, four cups of wine, based at night, even though it's a time-oriented mitzvah, because as the Gemara says, the Talmud says, it was they were involved in the neis. So if you look at Tosfos, source number 3, Masechet Pesachim, Tosfos says, doesn't say they caused the miracle to happen. Tosfos says, Perish Rashbam, the Rashbam explains, Shal Yodam Nigalu. If the Jewish people, they were redeemed, they were saved because of ladies. Not that a miracle happened because of them, but the miracle happened. So he says, so the question is, how did a miracle happen because of them? So when they left Mitzrayim, it happened because of the ladies. That we'll see in a few minutes. V'chein the Megillah, Ali the Esther. So Purim is a no-brainer. Esther caused the miracle. She orchestrated everything in the castle, and she told Mordechai what to do. And you know, maybe later on Yud Gimel Adar, so later on that year, most of the men were involved, but Esther certainly organized the miracle. And then it says, "V'Chanukah al yedei Yehudis," and the miracle of Chanukah happened through Yehudis. Okay, we'll explain the miracle of Yehudis in a second. So what really happened with Yehudis? Okay, so first of all, let's understand. The Sefer Yehudis, there's a Sefer called Yehudis, it's one of the Sfarim Chitzonim, one of the books that did not make it into the Tanakh, it was not codified, and it's a story about there was a decree, and by the way, this book is very unclear when it happened. It could be it happened during the time of the Persian Empire. It could be maybe it happened before. Maybe it happened later. It's very unclear. One thing for sure, it certainly did not happen. That's what the historians say. First of all, question if it did happen, but if it did happen, it certainly did not happen around the time of the Hanukkah miracle. That's for sure. He says, so what happened? They made a decree actually the story is quoted by the Shiltas from Achaivon, but they made a decree that during the time any girl that gets married has to spend the night with the Romans, let's say the Greek general. So what happened? Because of that, and also you can't have Brit Milah. So because of that, whenever a Jew had a simcha, they weren't publicized. It's done in quiet. And we know that we as Jewish people, we like to publicize smachot. It's very important. But the bris milah was done in hiding. The weddings were done in hiding in order to avoid this confrontation with a Greek general. However, Gemara says, Shiltas, one of the early one that owned him, so he says that at one point, one of the daughters of the Chashmonai, okay, and therefore it's actually fascinating, doesn't say Matzisyahu, one of the daughters of Chashmonai, alright, was supposed to get married, and they weren't able to hide that fact. It doesn't say that, it wasn't say it was one of the, it could be, so therefore it could be it happened even after the Hanukkah miracle, because that's the one daughter of Chashmonai. And therefore the Melech, the king, heard about it, and the king said, I want the daughter, right, so he says, to come to spend the night with me. Right? So what did the daughter do? The daughter's sitting there thinking, if I go ahead and I allow this to happen, all other Jews would go ahead, Jewish girls would follow my example. And therefore, I am not, he says, I am going to give myself over to be killed. Alright, so what did she do? She says, she went ahead and she put on rags, okay? And she would go ahead and give wine out to people, and everyone was embarrassed of her. So she says, you're embarrassed of me? Sadiqim b'nei sadiqim, chassidim b'nei chassidim? Why embarrassed of me? Because I'm wearing rags? Aren't you embarrassed of a Kadosh Baruch of God that we're allowing something to happen? Very important. So at that point, Okay, the Yehuda and his brothers decide to come with certain ideas, and what they did was they sort of made a fancy reception for the king. So the king, you know, the king thought that they were playing a game with him, and he was very happy. And then he was very happy, and he basically decided to spend time alone with Yehuda. So when he was alone with Yehuda, at that point he decided that he trusts Yehuda. And when he was alone with Yehuda, it says Yehuda took out his sword and basically cut off his head.
Yehuda.
It said, no, Yehuda. According to what the Shiltis quotes. There are many different Gersos in the story. That's according to the Shiltis. That's according to what the Shiltis says. It's a general. So when the king heard this story, he was very upset, and he came. So what happens at that point, Yehudis, there was a woman in Yerushalayim whose her name was Yehudis, and then the whole story goes that she said to the king, and the king said, I want to marry you, and the king, she said, I'm not willing to marry to you, and the whole story, basically she chopped off his head. Okay, so Shiltis does quote the story. No question about it, the story is quoted. However, as I said, we don't know what happened in the history. We don't know really when it happened. But that's one question. Number one. But that's what the Rashbam says, that B'chanak al-Yedei Yehudis. But we know that was not the main miracle. Okay? And we're comparing the Nes of Purim, the miracle of Purim, to the miracle of Hanukkah. And we're saying that just like the Jews were saved by Esther at Purim time, they were saved by Yehudis Hanukkah time. But how can we compare the two miracles? That's question number one. In other words, obviously Yehudis played a hand, but the main miracle did not happen through Yehudis. That would be question number one. Question number two.
And the Gemara there doesn't talk about you, about the weeks of home.
Where?
In Shabbos.
It talks about the first. It does say when they're victorious over their enemies. It does mention that, and they came to the Beit HaMikdash. Okay, but the fact is, the Gemara does not say a word about Yehuda either. It's not mentioned in the Gemara. Okay, it's not mentioned in the Gemara. So when we speak about the miracle of Hanukkah, how can we compare the miracle of Hanukkah to the miracle of Purim? That's question number one. Question number two. That's the Tosfos question. Tosfos says, "Achein hoivos sanes." What does that imply? It doesn't imply they were the major cause of the miracle. That implies that they were part of the miracle. They were also involved in the miracle. But if you're going to tell me it means that they caused the miracle like Esther, and as the Rashbam says, that through Yehudis, how can you say, he didn't say, hang up to it the next? Not a half aim, but hang up to it the next. They did the miracle. That's question number two. Question number three, we have to understand, how does Pesach fit into this? So what happened in Pesach time? If you look at source number four, Yehudis caused the miracle. Esther caused the miracle. What happened in Pesach time? So the Rishonim say, source number four, Mitzrayim, because of the righteous woman in that generation, the Jews were redeemed from Mitzrayim. What happened? Because he says, when they would go to draw water to drink, so the HaKadosh Baruch Hu would cause fish to come in the well, alright? And they would go ahead and take out water and take out fish. And then they would go ahead and they would make hot water and they would make fish for the husbands. And then they would bring it to the field and they would go ahead and wash their husbands and give them to drink. And then there would be intimacy. And because of that, the Jewish families were able to reproduce and to continue growing. So that's how does that compare to Esther and Yehudis? No miracles there. What happened here? Yehudis caused the salvation. Esther caused the salvation. What was the salvation here? So what is the comparison? What is the comparison to Chag HaPesach? Okay, now, then, one more question about Yehudis. Is, did it really happen? Okay? So, I actually thought as I was going through this that, I was saying, like, sometimes startling, but if you look at source number six, you'll see that many people have said this, that the whole miracle of Yehudis did not happen Hanukkah time. Alright? Now, what is this based on? So there is a halacha that is brought down, mentioned in Shulchan Aruch, and that's actually in source number 11, in the beginning of Hilchos Chanukah, that there's a custom, even though Chanukah we're allowed to do malach, allowed to do work, there's a custom that on Chanukah women do not light candles, do not do malacha, work while the candles are lit. What is it based on? So people say it's based on the fact, because since the miracle happened through Yehudis, so therefore, to mark that miracle, women abstain from malacha while the candles are lit. Now, if you look at source number 6, that's the Moruksia. Right? He says, the Moruksia, number 6, he says, that's of Yaakov Emden, he says, V'huzal hosif lomar, Sheneis Chanukah was done through women. And then he says, the Zedavar Badu. And this is a mistake. It's a mistake. He says, Kibi emet, ain't Shaykh Klaal and Nachneis Chanukah, Yotmar Nashim. There's no, against Tosfos, the women do not have more of a hand than the men in the miracle of Chanukah. They're saying, Lo Amru Azal, and the Chazal said, Sha'at Hein Oibasanei, my Tosfos says, the Chazal do not think they did the miracle, they were also involved in the miracle. Sha'yivonim Gozrol Isha, Hamisei Shibalek Melchila, because the Greeks went ahead and they made Xera on the Jews that they should have relations where they get married with a general. Alright? It's not that they went ahead. And he said, and what it means is that their decree included the women. Lo Shehein Haina were the Simon Garmanes. And he said, as is known, from you look at the book of the Chashmonaim, you look at the book of Josephus, no one mentions that they caused some sort of miracle. And even though in the Pivot of Hanukkah, with those who say to Yutin, they mention a miracle that happened. So he says, maybe it happened because of Sefer Yehudis. But if you look, v'rachokin ma'od bizmaneihem zemizeh. In terms of time, they were so far distant apart. In terms of years, you can't connect the miracle of Chanukah to the miracle of Yehudis. Lo karav ze'ozeh. So Rav Yaakov says, so why all of a sudden do we go ahead and say women shouldn't light candles to malach because of Yehudis? So he says something startling. In lo shenemar sherosa latet zikaron gam les Yehudis. We want to remember the miracle of Yehudis, and therefore, since they couldn't find any other time to remember it, when did he do it? So he says, because he says it happened in the time of the first exile. He says therefore they connected to Neis Chanukah. That's what he says. So Yaakov Emden says it didn't happen in all the time of Chanukah. It happened around the time of the Babylonian exile. And he says, so we have to understand, so why would we connect it? Why would we go ahead and connect it to the miracle of Chanukah if it didn't happen then? If we go further at source number 9, 10, 12. So first of all, Baruch HaShulchan also in source number 12 mentions the idea that Omdu Malach was the nation of Yehudis. Alright? He says, and he points out, he says, Ba'od B'meshach Hazman. What Meshach Hazman mean? It happens some other time. It happens some other time. For that reason, so if it happens some other time, how do we connect that to Chanukah? Okay, that's another question. And then there is also a custom to eat Milchakah food on Chanukah. Why? Because it's for Yehudis. Because how did Yehudis get the general to be... What happened when the general was good and drunk and sleeping? That drunk, she cut off his head, right? And she would come back and show the head of Yehudis and of the general and say, look, we killed the general and they were able to win the battle, the Jews. So how did she get him drunk? She gave him a lot of milk products to eat, cheese.
Wine and cheese party.
Wine and cheese party, right. So if you look at the Ben Ish Chai, the Ben Ish Chai has a source number 10. Even the Ben Ish Chai, he says, Ochlin macholi chala b'chana gazei kolenes, shenasu b'chol shechil Yehudis is a oyen, shoyim malchi yodim. And he says, V'amaisu hu of the Sefer Chemnas Yomim. This story of Yehudis is brought in Sefer Chemnas Yomim. V'nezeh nas ekodah meso ikari. This miracle happened before the more than Chemnakam HaShadim. Ach, ho'il v'osa oyeh v'hoyim malchi yomim. Since this enemy was from the Malchi Yavan, Gabhu Yerotel Ibn Adas, and this king also wanted the Jews to violate the Torah, Lakach Osun Nezer, we also make a miracle, a Zecher to this, we make Chanukah, and he says, but how can you do that? It's very simple. He says, you know, there's a minhag, to eat poppy seeds on Purim. Okay, I don't eat poppy seeds on Purim because I have nothing like poppy seeds. Okay, but if I remember, everybody used to always buy hamantaschen with poppy seeds in it. What's the basis of that? Yeah, very simple, because since Daniel in the palace and his friends couldn't eat the food in the palace, they would eat fruits and vegetables, and they ate poppy seeds, and they survived, and they were strong. So the Zayfer did that miracle, we eat poppy seeds on Purim. Okay, what does Daniel have to do with Purim? It happened around the same time, so that's why. So he says, just like we commemorate what happened to Daniel Purim time, we commemorate that with the Yehudis at Chanukah time. And then he adds another reason, he says, and therefore the minute to eat milchitz, and also because Chala stands for Chodesh, and then you have the Chodesh Shabbos Amila. So you have the Lam stands for Mila, and the Bay stands for Shabbos, and the Ches stands for Chodesh, because they want to stop Mila Chodesh. But again, we seem to be tying Yehudis into the whole story of Chanukah, and really it didn't happen with Chanukah time. So that's another question. Now I want to ask one more question, and then sort of sum up this part of the shiur, and then come to another question at the end. And one more question is like this. So, we know women are mechuyavos in the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. Okay? And the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is a very unique mitzvah, because there are many ways to mechayim the mitzvah. Today, Baruch Hashem, we live at a time when, in general, Jews are able to, can afford to mechayim the mitzvah of Chanukah in the best way. But the Gemara says, if you want to be mechayim the mitzvah of Chanukah, every house lights one candle. If you want to do the mitzvah in a better form, then you should go ahead and light a candle for each person in the house. And if you want to do it mahadrin min mahadrin, so then you should do it it's a machlokas, the Svarim Ashkenazim. According to Tosfos and the Svaradin, you should light one candle for each night in the house. And according to the Rambam and Ashkenazim, you should light one candle for each night and for each person. So that means there are six people in the house, on the sixth night of Hanukkah, you would light 36 candles. Okay, and our minhag is basically that every, Ashkenazim minhag, I'm sorry, is that every person lights his own menorah. Okay, and really the truth, the way the minhag should be done, is that all the men and all the ladies should light their own menorah. Right, and in my house, I grew up, and in many houses, the husband would light, and the boys would light, and the girls would light, okay? My uncle felt that even the women should light, because women are mechuyavos mitzvah Ner Chanukah, and that's what's machmir the Rambam. However, the Mishnah Berurah mentions she does the Meiri, and that's what my father did, that the lady does not light, she is yotzei of her husband's menorah, unless, of course, the husband is not home, then she would light. And as a matter of fact, so the Mishnah Berurah asks why. After all, women are mechuyavos, so just like, for example, on Pesach night, I'm not going to drink 8 kosos. My wife, I can drink 4 kosos, and she has to drink 4 cups. So why, when it comes to Ner Chanukah, I can light for her? Mishnah Berurah says, Isha Kagufo, that a husband and his wife are like one unit, so if I light the menorah, fuck, she's lighting the menorah. That is, as long as we're in the same house. Obviously, if I'm away, or she's away, we have to light by ourselves in where we are. And it's fascinating, because where else do we see such a concept, Isha Kagufo, that I can go ahead and I can do a mitzvah my wife, because we're one unit. So it comes up in regard to, I think, Hilchos Yerusha, inheritance laws. It comes up in regard to maybe Hataras Nadarim, that I can be Matir Neder for my wife. And it also comes up in terms of benching Gomel. Halacha is that, let's say, for example, someone's wife was in a dangerous situation and she came out Baruch Hashem alive, her husband can bench Gomel for her because it's Chav V'Lav Kegufa, we hope. Okay, that's the basis. Where else do you see such a thing? Ishto Kegufa! She doesn't go to Mitzvah! Where do you see such a concept? If you look, it's actually mentioned in the source sheet. So it's source number 16. The Shulchan Aruch says, the Yesh Omer, the Chol Echon, the Abayis Yadnik. That everyone in the house has to light a candle. And number 17, the Yesh Omer, the Chol Echon, Levad Mi Ishto, besides your wife, why? The Hikagufo. Because she is like your goof. Why does that happen? So once you're going to tell me that you're lying to every member of the household, so why, how come the women don't light? Ladies don't light? Again, I said, certainly a lady could light, and the custom is in many families that the ladies do light now, many families, they don't light. And it was interesting that I remember the first time I heard about this. You know, sometimes you grow up in a certain house, you think everyone does it this way. So I remember I was riding in New York City many years ago, and I was listening to a radio station, a Jewish radio station, and there was a rabbi giving a shiur, and he was asking the question, why is it that young girls don't like the menorah? It was a chiddush to me. I thought, of course young girls like the menorah. At my house, I don't like the menorah. And he goes on, he says, well, the reason is because this is a chassam sofer, because since when they get older, they're not going to light because their husband lights for them. They don't light when they're younger either. To me, it sounded very, very strange, but that is definitely the custom here in Eretz Yisrael in many, many houses. But it seems more correct that everyone should light, according to Mishavura at least. Mishavura says that only the wife doesn't light because of Ishto Kagufo. The question is why? Why shouldn't she light by herself? Why do we say here the lady is yotzei of her husband? Let her light her own menorah. Okay, that's another question. So, in order to understand this, what I want to see and take notice of is other stories that happen. So, if you look at source number 15, okay, so source number 15 is Megillas Tainus. And Megillas Tainus was actually written by Chazal. So therefore, Megillas Tainus is very, very authentic. And let's see how they describe what happened with what they describe what happened with a story similar to Yehudas. So Megillas Tainus is a sefer that lists all the holidays the Jews celebrated during the time of the Second Temple era. Because the miracles that happened. In general, many days they didn't say Tachanun. Says, in general, we don't commemorate any of these holidays today because those holidays were beneficial to the Second Commonwealth. And once we're not living anymore and we don't have the Second Commonwealth to make this, those holidays don't benefit us. The only two notable exceptions that we keep are Hanukkah and Purim. And one of the big questions is also Tu B'Av is also a question that's been discussed. How come the 15th day of Av? But we're not going to get into that. So he says, Mar says, so what happened? And Shiva Asur Ba'alo. And I'm going to read this inside, just because it's important to see, source number 15, what exactly happened. The Shifsar Bay, Notgui Romoin Yerushalayim. On the 17th, the Romans left Yerushalayim. So we're talking about the Romans. Yeah, what, I'm not sure what that means. So he says, Yinei Shahayu Mitzar Levei Yerushalayim, Lo Yochel Lotzot Nehem V'yom El V'layla. Okay? So he says, you couldn't go out at daytime, only nighttime. And then it just says, and also the Malchi Yavan went ahead and harassed the Jews. He says, they would put offers in every city to harass, and probably, I would say, cold molest brides. And afterwards, they would marry their husbands. Okay, and because of that, nobody would have a wedding because they were afraid to make a big party. People would hear about that. And that was the curse that the Pasuk says, each Yitaharis, one woman will get engaged and someone else will lay with her. And no one wanted to marry because of these officers. All right, and what did they do? They went ahead and they got married in quiet and secret. And then if you look towards the end, it says like this. Ubat achas toilon tishyo basham kohen gadol. All right, he says, and one daughter was tumat tishyo, because shegiya d'man elinotze, and when it came time for her to get married, ba hakastor l'tama, the officer came to mitame her. This is a story mentioned in the Shultis. Lo hinicho, so he didn't let the kadam tishyo bana v'gavri yadam amal tishyovan, and the batishyo and his sons are very jealous, and because of that. He says, they went ahead and they were victorious over the Greeks. The Mitzvah B'yadah Maharkum Ezeyom Shevitlum Masayantim. So in other words, Matizyon and his sons, before the miracle of Hanukkah happened, they stopped this from happening. So in other words, again, what's authentic in Chazal, a story very similar to Yehudas, the miracle did not happen through Yehudas, it happened through Matizyon, as the Shultis mentions. So why are we speaking about Yehudas? Okay. Now, if you go and you look at source number 18. Okay, source number 18 is Ultra Midrashim. Now, Ultra Midrashim does not destroy Yehudas. I once read the Ultra Midrashim. It's not clear if every Midrash they have is really authentic. Okay, however, this comes from Megillas Antiochus, which is authentic. And at certain communities, there was a custom to read Megillas Antiochus. And this is how they tell the story. All right? And verse Lama Dalit, he says, Vegam Isha Asher Yolda Ben Achrei Mos Baila. There was a son, a girl woman, who gave birth to a son after her husband died. So what happened? There was a gzeira against the Bris Milah. V'tomol osu l'shmon asyon. And what happened was, is she circumcised him on the eighth day. Okay? Now, we know that Jewish women have always been moser nefesh to circumcise their boys. There's a story, I think, in the Shoah, a tragic story, about a certain lady had a baby in her arm, and she came to ask the Nazi officer for his gun, for his bayonet, a knife. And everyone thought she wanted to kill herself. And so Jews around, why are you doing it? Don't do that. And the Nazi officer says, no, why are you bothering her? Here. And I guess he gave her a knife that she had, and all of a sudden she takes the bundle of the baby, and she does she bracha bris milah and gives the baby a bris. And she says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you gave me a baby, okay, I'm giving you back the baby with a bris. And then she was killed and her son was killed. So, always mesiras nefesh, right? So what happened? For bris milah. So what happened? Yerushalayim. She circumcised her son, and then she went up to the wall of Yerushalayim, ubna amol v'yodah, with her circumcised sons in her hands. She said, "Go tell Bakras." He was the one in charge then. Atem choshen levatol v'etanu habris shekara simanu. You want to stop the bris that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made of us? He says, "Bris avastein levat menu." He says, "The bris of our forefathers will never cease." V'shavus rosh chodesh shemila ivnei v'nei lo yusru. And he says, "And these three mitzvahs will never leave our descendants." And what happens? V'tachil b'no la'aretz. And at that point, the story says she basically dropped her baby down off the wall, and she herself. People acharav and musasan gechad. All right, he says the rabbin of Nei Yisrael hayu asher osin kem yom mehem v'lo shanu b'sar osin. And many Jews did like that. And the question I have is obviously I wasn't there, but okay, she wants to do bris milah, and she'll get killed. Okay, maybe she's mechuyav to do that, but why did she go on the wall of Yerushalayim and throw herself down? And I think that what happened here. And what happened, the same story with the daughter of the Chashmonaim that we saw. It wasn't that they cut off people. It wasn't that they just wanted to kill themselves. It wasn't they just wanted to do a mitzvah. They wanted to inspire the Jewish people to fight back. As we know in the day of the Chashmonaim, there were certain Jews who felt, what can we do? We can't fight. We might as well be killed. And we tried hard to be the Am Nibchar, the chosen nation. So these ladies got up in the wall, and they did it that way because they wanted to inspire, they wanted to push the people of Yerushalayim, the Jews of Eretz Yisrael, to fight. And as we were sitting here and hearing the story, what a horrible story it is, and it happened like over 2,400 years ago maybe, can you imagine what the Jews thought at that time? They said, if you're going to do that, we have to go fight, as we saw that the daughter of the Hashmonaim did the same thing. She dressed up in rags, giving that wine, and she started giving musar. She said, this is not right. So, I think that it's possible to suggest that we talk about the miracle of Yehudis. It wasn't the miracle of Yehudis cut off the head, because we don't really know when that happened. But the miracle of Yehudis, and as Rashi says, it wasn't Yehudis. It was a nice happened through a certain lady. The miracle was that these ladies, the Jewish ladies, inspired their husbands and other men to fight back, not to take what the Greeks are doing, sitting down, not to allow them to destroy the Jewish nation. That was the inspiration. And it's fascinating, because as I said before, one of the questions was, How do we compare the miracle of Hanukkah and Purim, where a miracle happened through a lady, to the miracle of Pesach, where the ladies weren't really involved in the miracle itself? So what was the miracle? I mentioned the Gemara Masechta Sota. How did the miracle happen for them? So said, because when when the Jewish people were depressed, the men, it was so depressing. Who can continue? Who has hope? Who can try to make the situation better? The ladies went out to the field, and they found fish, and they found water, and they gave their husbands to eat, and they washed their husbands, and they had intimacy. And the point was to show that we can't give up, we have to continue. And that's the schar. The reason why the Jews were redeemed from the tribe wasn't because they had fish to eat, because the women inspired them not to give up, to live a normal life, to fight. That was inspiration. And the truth of the matter is, I was thinking about it, so that fits in very well. Yehudis, and that's why the Moruch Siyah, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, I asked. So because some story happened 200 years before, we're going to tie it to Hanukkah. Why tie it to Hanukkah? Especially if it happened at the time of the Babylonian exile. But the story of Yehudis, which is mentioned in the Svarim Chitzonim, one of those books, which is not incorporated into the Tanakh, that story tells us the power of the Jewish lady to go in and inspire Jewish men to fight, not to give up. And that's what Hanukkah is about, because the women had a very strong hand, as we see Megillas Antiochus, as we saw from the Shiltis, in inspiring the men to fight. And therefore, that story of Yehudis, which maybe happened 340 years before, is the same idea. Because so therefore it says Nikolu al Yadam. It doesn't mean they caused the miracle. What it means is, and doesn't mean they were the main miracle. Because Achain, the Tosfos asks, they weren't. They also caused the miracle. What does it mean? Yes, maybe the men caused the miracle of the war. But who pushed the men? Who inspired the men? That was the ladies, not to give up. Not to give up. And the Gemara Masechta Sota tells the same thing. Who inspired the ladies? Who inspired the ladies was the men in the tribe. Who inspired the men were ladies. Just a second. What I want to say, and then he says, and now, how about Esther? Esther was part of the main miracle. So I was thinking about it. There's no question about that. However, if you look at source number, it's not numbered, but it's right after source number 17. It's Gemara Tetzvav and Mabet and Maseches Megillah. Gemara says, we know the whole story of Esther. What did Esther do? Esther invited Haman to the party. Gemara asked, very strange. Why would Esther go ahead and invite Haman to the party? Why? Why? So Gemara gives many reasons. She wanted to trap him. Rabbi Yeshua says, he says, you have your enemy, try to be nice to your enemy. Rabbi Meir says, because she didn't want to give Haman a chance to find a way to escape. Rabbi Yehuda says, so people shouldn't recognize that she's a Jew and kill her first. He says, and then Rabbi Nechemiah says, something that always resonated within me. Strange. She says, the last thing she wanted was for the Jews to go ahead and say, we have a friend in the palace. There's nothing to worry about anymore. What it says is, Kidei Shelo Yomer Yisrael, Achos Yesh Lo Avais HaMelech, and not to ask for Rachamim, not to ask to help to fight. Says she wanted the Jews for those 2 days to realize they still need help, not to think they can rely on Esther. So Esther, with everything else she did, it was very important to her to inspire the Jews. That's why Esther was the one who pushed Megillas Esther for Purim, because that was also part. It's true, Esther has very big hand in this. But part of what Esther wanted to do was to inspire the Jews. She said, Yitzumo Lai, fast for me, daven for me. She wanted the Jews to do tshuva. She pushed them. And therefore, the miracle of the ladies was the fact that they caused the nes. They caused the nes. Yes.
Right.
This might be a stupid question or a simple question.
No questions are. Yeah.
Okay. I don't understand the question whatsoever. If the purpose of the Ivana was the Hashma to Rasachel, or Michel Yehuz and Necha, of course they were both on this. They had their Chaluk of the Klein.
No. That's the second opinion. But we're talking about the Rishonim hold that they caused the nes. That's the second. We didn't get there yet. I hope they get there, okay? We're focusing on the Rishonim that they caused the nes. There were other opinions, you're right. But I was talking about the Shita the Rashbam until now, okay? So you're right. That's the second thing in Tosis. Hopefully I'll get to it. But I was just focusing on other opinion. All right. So now the question comes up, and it says, so why is it that the man that the woman, man likes for the lady. Okay? You got a different mechaber. So in order to answer that, I want to go through the second opinion you mentioned. If you go back to source number 3, Tosfos says, what does it mean, apen ayah bosemes? It means that they were also included in the decree. As you say, if you look at source number 3, it says, they were also in danger of being destroyed. So therefore, anyone who's in danger of being destroyed has to go ahead and keep that mitzvah, and therefore they were in danger Pesach time, Purim time, and of course, Hanukkah time also. So Tosfos asked the question, so if that's the case, what makes these three mitzvot so special? There are many mitzvot that were done because of Gulas Mitzrayim. For example, he says, Tosfos gives the example, Sukkos. Why do we sit in the Sukkah? Because we have to remember, we came out of Mitzrayim. What did God do? He sat us where? In Sukkot. Why do we work still in? Laman Tiskor, to remember they left Mitzrayim. So Tosfos says that the idea of Apen Haivosanes only applies to Rabbinic mitzvahs. Mitzvahs to Rabbanim. Mitzvahs that are Rabbinic. However, so he says, and therefore, these three mitzvot are the Rabbanon, and that's why they're obligated. This is not a rule that applies to Torah-oriented mitzvot. That's what Tosfos says. My grandfather, and you can see in the back, it doesn't have a number, it was cut and paste, and this is mentioned in, it's brought down in one of the Masorah magazines, also in other Svarim, I think it's one of the first editions. And he gives a different question. He gives an answer. He says like this. He says, there are two types of mitzvahs because of a miracle. One mitzvah is a mitzvah where you have to go ahead and do because of the miracle. And one mitzvah is a mitzvah which you do for piersum ha-nes. Okay? Which means to mefarsem, to talk about the nes, to spread the nes. So he says, so therefore these three mitzvahs, Megillah, 4 cups of wine, the mitzvah of Hanukkah. That's different. That's not just to remember the miracle. That's for piersum ha-nes. And therefore, because it's for piersum ha-nes to go ahead and to spread the miracle, so what we have to do is that lady is obligated in it. But a mitzvah is just to remember the ha-nes, the miracle. So he says, that is not obligated upon ladies. Okay, that's what he says. Even though, and it's fascinating, because when it comes to sukkah, the mitzvah sukkah is when you sit in the sukkah. So when I'm wearing tefillin, I don't remember Mitzrayim. I should, but I'm still behind the mitzvah. When I sit in the sukkah, if you look at source number 7 and 8, I'm supposed to remember that we were in the sukkah when we left Mitzrayim. Okay? He says, you know, so I'm supposed to do this, that I'm supposed to remember what God did when we left Mitzrayim. Get the right, left Mitzrayim. So he says, and that's why a sukkah has to be less than 20 amos high. So is the concept of remembering the miracle. What makes piersum ha-nes so different, so special, that it's different than other mitzvot? And because it's different, a lady is chayavis also. So what I want to do is I want to read to you, obviously, not word for word, from my uncle Sefer, Rav Yoshe Bir Soloveitchik, on Essays on Purim Hanukkah. And he says, the Rambam points out that, you know, before you go ahead and you light the Hanukkah candles, we make a bracha. And then we say Haneris Halal. Okay? And you should know that actually, according to one girsa, when you make the bracha shasanistin, the Haneris Halal is in that bracha. So he says, lighting Hanukkah candles require explanation and interpretation. He says, the reason for the miracle is we have to publicize and give expression to the miracle of Hanukkah. So therefore, when we light the Hanukkah candles, we have to express what happened. And he says, the Hanukkah candles, as you know, is a dialogue and a monologue. Okay? It's a dialogue because we have to express it to others. But it's also a monologue because even though every year we light, but every year, as I said at the beginning of this year, we discover something new. When you light the candles each year, one deepens and widens his knowledge, discovering new aspects of Hanukkah. And he says that every year what you're doing is you're re-experiencing and reliving the miracle. when you say Aneris Halalu, then we experience the miracle. And he points out, he says, and this is something which is borrowed from Pesach night, because Pesach night is obvious, everyone knows, we have to go ahead and we have to, Pesach night, we have to go ahead and we have to experience the Chazuk Mitzrayim, and that's Pirus Manes. That's not just to talk about the miracle, but we have to talk about it in a way where we're experiencing it. And that's what has to happen in Purim when you hear the story of the Megillah, and that's what has to happen in Hanukkah time. Also, you light the candles. So he says, so therefore, if you're going to have a Pirsim Anais, we just don't remember to remember the miracle, when you're re-experiencing, it's very important that the ladies are involved also. Why? Because we see from all three miracles, Pesach, Hanukkah, and Purim, how the ladies, they created the spirit, they created the feeling, they pushed us, and therefore it's so important today for us to realize the ladies are involved, because without the help of our wives or our mothers, it's very difficult to re-experience what happened. And that's why Ishto Tegufo, because when I light that menorah, I have to realize that if I don't have my wife, doing it for my wife, it's going to be much more difficult to re-experience. I have to tell you, I didn't have a chance to bring it in. My mother, Zichrono Levracha, right before she passed away, 3 weeks before, she was honored by my father's yeshiva. How did it happen? Because she was diagnosed with a sickness, and the doctors at that time thought it was chronic. Chronic, 5 years, 6 years, and the yeshiva wanted to honor her. And but everyone, I guess, didn't realize it was very, very serious. And it turned out that a week after the dinner, she had to be taken to the hospital. She was hospitalized, and soon after, she passed away. But she, obviously, she didn't have the strength to speak. She wrote up a speech, and she gave it to my brother to say. And I still have the speech. I look at it as my mother's last charge to her children, at least. And, you know, one of the things she said that I remember, my father and the Rav always used to blow what's called brisket tekiyas. Special shitas brisk, how to blow tekiyas. And she said she loved hearing brisket tekiyas. Why? Because she saw that as a connection to what happened in Bris, in the Balazhin. And she spoke about it as a child. She read about Balazhin, and then she got connected to the Soloveitchik family afterwards. She was, somehow or another, she taught us how to experience what happened, you know, years ago and in the future. I remember as a child learning her Navi. And it was unbelievable, because when you learn Navi of her, we're going to say, Vashoftim, you re-experienced it. Shmuel, I re-experienced it with her. Because she had the touch of a mother, of teaching us how to go and re-experience. I remember, she always, I never realized, you know, when we were eating, you know, sometimes she would tell me, oh, this is the kind of breakfast we had in Eretz Yisrael. She was in Eretz Yisrael before the States, when it was still called Palestine. Or this is the kind of meal we used to have in Ritva. She never liked pizza, because they never served pizza in Eretz Yisrael or Ritva back in those days. Okay? But, you say, to re-experience, and just like in by the Nes of Pesach, they were able to create that feeling of hope, the feeling that you have to stand up and not allow the enemies to destroy us. Today they can also create that great experience. And for that reason, we say Ishto Kagufo. Why Ishto Kagufo? Because Ishto Kagufo, because she pushes her husband to really experience. It doesn't mean, by the way, that a lady can't light her own menorah. My uncle held he should, based on the Rambam. However, even if she lights the menorah, she is there to help them re-experience. And as I said, beginning of this year, we always learn something new, and every year my uncle said you can re-experience in a different way. And that's why the lady has such an important part of the miracle of Hanukkah. I just want to finish off by saying that it's this miracle, learning from Yehudis, that what the power of a lady is so important, because the ladies have to understand what they can accomplish, what they can do. And through doing this, you know, how close they can come. You know, I'll just finish off, there's this Sfas Emes, which I saw a few weeks ago, just looking on the Parsha, and the Parsha is Vayera. So that says in Parsha Vayera that Avraham Avinu, we know, had the Bris Milah at the end of Parsha Lech Lecha, Hashem appeared to Abram in the tents of Mamre, plains of Mamre. And Chazal asked, what was going on in the plains of Mamre? And why did the Torah tell us it was in the plains of Mamre? So there's a medrash, very strange medrash, which probably need time to understand. This says that when Avram Avinu was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do Bris Milah, he went to ask his friends, who were his friends. His friends were Aner, Eshkol, and Mamre. And should I do Bris Milah? Very hard to understand. And Aner, Eshkol told him, don't do Bris Milah. And Mamre said to him, no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, do Bris Milah, you do Bris Milah. You don't ask any questions. And the Sfasem, and because of that, out of reward, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to him in Mamre's plains, in Mamre's property. And the Sfasem asked a very simple question. Why should Mamre get a reward? What did he do? What did he do to deserve? What did he do to deserve this reward? It didn't cost him any pain. I don't have to go through Bris Milah. And the Sfas says something fascinating. Why is it the Aner and Eshkol didn't want Avram to do Bris Milah? Whatever that means. See, Aner and Eshkol, they were friends of Avram. Close friends. And because Avram was so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because Avram was such a Baal Midah, such a Baal Chesed, he was so special, they benefited greatly from that relationship. And they wanted to maintain that relationship. But they were afraid that if Avram does Bris Milah, the Sfas says, that relationship would change because now Avram Avinu is different than them. And Mamre said, you know, I hear it. But the bottom line is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, do Bris Milah. Nothing to think about. It'll all work out. And what happened? Did Bris Milah. And because he did Bris Milah, Mamre had the great schus that HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared to Avram on his property. He benefited from the Bris Milah. That we have to understand what our task is and what our role is. Everybody has to understand, and from that we can benefit greatly. And I'll just finish off that if you think about what Hanukkah is about, Hanukkah, which I mentioned, is a holiday. It wasn't like Purim necessarily. In other words, if you read the history of Hanukkah, it wasn't like, you know, the Jews beat the Greeks, they went to the base of Mikdash, great miracle of the Menorah, and all of a sudden everything was over. It wasn't that way. It was pretty difficult. As a matter of fact, you look, they didn't have control of Yerushalayim even. They had control of the Beis HaMikdash. And by the time it was over, all four of Matisyahu's sons died. The only one who survived was Shimon. And even then, it was only maybe during the time, maybe a little bit later, that they had real security. So why are we celebrating Hanukkah? Because Hanukkah, as we saw, what Yehudis did, what Esther was able to do in a certain way, and what happened in Mitzrayim, was the idea of not giving up. And that's Hanukkah, that we can't give up. We can't give up. And that's why Hanukkah is one of those holidays that we keep it even after the destruction of the temple. Because Hanukkah is the time we have to realize that it's a time of darkness, and we light up the darkness by lighting the Hanukkah menorah, and it's the message that every Jew has to incorporate, the message of Yehudis, the message of the women in Mitzrayim, and even the message of Esther in some way, that we can't give up, we have to keep fighting, standing for what's ours. And in that way, we can go ahead and we can bring the redemption. And just to finish up with what idea that was mentioned, and therefore, just like Esther didn't want the Jews to rely on what's going on in the palace, we also have to be very careful not to give up and not to rely on what's going on in the palace. We have to, for ourselves, we have to think independently, and we have to realize what can we do to make the situation better. And even when sometimes things seem very, very dark, Hanukkah tells us the message of Yehudis, which maybe happened 4 years before. And that message is, never give up, keep trying, and then you can inspire everyone else to fight with you. And Mr. Shem, one day, we will see the end of all our troubles. Amen. Amen.